Chapter 1661, Bruce Wayne and the Magic Stone, Part 5. First of all, I'd like to introduce and set an example for all students here. Everyone must wear the school uniform at all times, whether in class or in the common room. No other clothing is allowed unless it's a special occasion like a dance party, where formal attire is required after you receive the notice. Your seniors are your role models. So far, we haven't found any cases of students violating the dress code in our college, while the other three colleges have. Schiller, dressed in a wizard's robe, scanned the students and said, "I don't think anyone would be happy to be mocked as a poor person. If you dress lavishly, it's like you're constantly mocking others' financial situations. Perhaps you don't care, but I want you to remember that magical talent is a gift from God. It's not about having a privileged background that allows you to surpass others academically. Your current financial status is useless in the magical realm. After graduation, everyone will have to rely on their own abilities. If you show off too much and make enemies everywhere, your future path may become much more difficult." Schiller didn't emphasize rules and authority excessively, but explained the reasons clearly, which most children could understand. So, they obediently took the school uniforms and went to the nearby lounge to change. Although the four colleges had different representative colors, their uniforms were all black with slight variations in design. Zatara Academy, also known as the Magic School of Craft, modified the sleeves to be slightly shorter, leaving some room at the cuffs to prevent them from getting in the way when mixing potions or assembling machines. Strange College shortened the outer cloak significantly because, in a magical duel, if someone grabs and pulls the cloak, it could easily injure the vulnerable back of the head, even during practice duels between students. Wayne College altered the inner collar of their uniforms to a suit-style stand-up collar, making the students look more spirited and showcasing their ties better. They placed more emphasis on appearance than the other colleges. Roderick's College uniform was a traditional church school outfit, consisting of a black shirt or sweater, black trousers, soft leather shoes, and a long-sleeved outer coat with a long back hem, similar to the Hogwarts uniform. The directors of the colleges also had to wear formal attire, which, in the magical realm, meant traditional wizard robes. Since modern magic originated in Europe, specifically the UK, the wizard robes resembled the school uniforms with longer back hems that sometimes trailed on the ground, wider sleeves, and elaborate patterns on the front and bottom edges of the outer coat. The faculty members could also wear colorful ties with various colors and patterns. Schiller wore a dark blue paisley tie, similar to what he would wear with a suit. The soft fabric of the robe softened his usually stern demeanor, giving him a classical scholarly air. Schiller continued explaining the rules of the college, which were similar to those in regular schools, such as no smoking, drinking, fighting, being late for class, skipping class without permission, or taking leave without a valid reason. Additionally, I must emphasize that the second room at the end of the fourth floor of the main castle is off-limits, Schiller said, extending a hand for emphasis. I hope you will respect the rules and not enter restricted areas without permission. This is the basic courtesy we expect. I also hope you will inform some of your more forgetful peers about this rule. Breaking the rules will not benefit you in any way, and in this matter, you must maintain a sense of awe. Now, we need to elect a class monitor for the freshmen. We don't practice democratic voting here because, without understanding each other, most people wouldn't know who to vote for. So, I'll give you 10 minutes to nominate a class monitor among yourselves. I won't interfere with your decision, and whoever you choose will become the class monitor for this year. Begin. After saying this, Schiller turned and walked over to organize the books on the shelf. The senior students also left, giving the freshmen some time to themselves. The small group of freshmen looked at each other, unsure who would speak first. "Hey, we can't just stare at each other for 10 minutes, can we?" a black boy said, rolling his eyes. "I have an idea, but I don't know if you'll agree with it." "Do you want to be the class monitor?" a girl asked. "No, not me. I can't handle that guy from the Wayne family." "I'm talking about him, yes, that guy." The black boy pulled Barry Allen to the center of the sofa, and instantly, all eyes were on him. "That annoying blue-eyed guy," he continued. Just because he accidentally bumped into him, he started insulting him so rudely. But his arrogance got him into trouble, as he missed the class monitor election. To really make him angry, we should elect the person he looks down on the most. Barry immediately objected, "No, that's too hasty. How can we decide on a class monitor, just to spite someone?" However, the girl who spoke earlier gently blinked and said, "I think it's a good idea. Imagine if that arrogant guy becomes the class monitor. He'll definitely bully all of us. Now that he doesn't have a chance, we should seize this opportunity to put him in his place. If we let him continue to be so arrogant, even if he's not the class monitor, we won't have a good time. What do you think?" The other children nodded in agreement, and another child chimed in, "We should do the opposite of what he wants. He doesn't want this, what's your name again?"
"Barry."
"He doesn't want Barry in our college, so we should not only have him here, but also make him the class monitor. That way, if he bullies us in the future, we can use this to make fun of him."
"Hey, wait a minute," Barry said anxiously. "This doesn't seem right. I really don't have the ability to be a class monitor."
"You should also consider yourself, Barry," the black boy said, grabbing Barry's sleeve. "If the class monitor is someone else, and they can't stand up to that Wayne guy, you'll be bullied terribly. He might make you do all the cleaning, and he might even laugh at you every day for being poor." Barry opened his mouth to say that it wasn't a big deal, but the others had already made up their minds. The black boy immediately raised his hand and said, "We've decided. Mr. Barry Allen will be the class monitor for our year, and we believe he'll do a great job." Standing by the second floor balcony and looking down, Schiller nodded without saying a word. Barry, on the other hand, jumped up, eager to express his opinion. But at that moment, Kane enthusiastically rushed over and gave Barry a hug, saying, "I knew you could do it. You're not like those who don't follow the rules and lack manners. You have a strong sense of conviction and a stubborn determination to stand up to authority. With you here, the discipline of your grade will surely put the professor at ease." Barry swallowed the words that were about to leave his mouth. He glanced up at Schiller and noticed the gentle gaze of the stern professor, even containing a hint of encouragement in their eye contact. At that moment, Barry understood that almost everyone present was dissatisfied with Bruce's arrogant attitude. However, the majority wouldn't argue with a child. Instead, they chose to respond in this manner. But Barry couldn't refuse. He knew that someone had to step up and take on this responsibility. It wasn't about being a class leader, but about the need to suppress the rebellious and arrogant Wayne child. Allowing him to run rampant in school would undoubtedly harm many. Barry had always been a child with a strong sense of justice, embodying the qualities of truth, goodness, and beauty. So, he decided to take on this responsibility and not give Bruce any chance to bully others. "Students, we have about 10 minutes until dinner time. If there are no other questions, please proceed to the hall with the senior students for dinner. They will emphasize the daily routine rules, and we'll see you at dinner." Schiller nodded slightly at them and then went upstairs. Barry watched his disappearing figure, then looked down at his school uniform and sighed softly. "What's wrong? Do you feel uncomfortable?" Kane looked at Barry with concern as he walked at the back of the group. Barry shook his head and said, "I'm just a little worried about our future."
"Are you worried about Wayne?"
"A bit, but not entirely. I'm more worried about myself. I'm not sure if I have the ability to manage everything. Usually, I'm the one who follows instructions. If that were the case, you wouldn't have tried to argue and reason with him when he insulted you. I can see that deep down, you have an uncompromising stubbornness. Keep up that spirit, and he won't be able to handle you."
"I hope so."
When they arrived at the hall, the inner world began to rain again. The drizzle fell on the stone slabs in front of the hall, and the smooth stones reflected everyone's faces. The students entered the hall in an orderly manner. As Barry stepped into the hall, he was stunned. Countless floating tables and chairs swayed in the air, surrounded by magical fire with a strange glow. Delicious food flew in from mid-air, and the sound of cutlery landing on the desks and clinking against each other was like the prelude to a grand epic.
Standing at the entrance of the hall, the indoor and outdoor environments seemed like two completely different worlds. The dampness of the lingering cold rain still lingered at Barry's nostrils, but the warm and fragrant aroma of oily food had already pulled his soul inside. His back seemed to remain on the cliff, enduring the whipping of the cold wind and rain, but his arm had already been pulled into the door of a brand new and magnificent world. Following his instincts, Barry stepped into the hall. Strange fantasies flooded Barry's mind. He flew into the clouds, sank into the sea, wandered through misty mountain forests, and climbed steep cliffs. When he heard the crisp bell ringing from the dreamlike scenery knocking on the door of his heart, he secretly made a decision. He wanted to step into this magical world and enjoy every moment spent there. With this thought, Barry's gaze fell upon an annoying figure who had already taken a seat at the dining table. He thought to himself that no one, not even Wayne, could ruin his wonderful life at Magic College. Just as Kane had described, Barry appeared calm on the surface, but deep down, he had an unyielding stubbornness. No one could stop him from doing what he set out to do.